Om Shanti. Every single point of Gyan, of truth, is mind-boggling. It is a source of intoxication. But like with anything else in life, it all depends on the filters we keep. That is the mindset, the glasses we wear. These filters, this mindset, these glasses are the false beliefs, the subjective, very personal opinion, the interpretations we developed when our intellect started getting confused, degraded. And not only we created those beliefs, those interpretations, but we also sustained them over a long period of time, while our intellect kept losing its clarity. So when Copper Age starts, whether we call it religion or bhakti or philosophy or even science, all of these areas are nothing else but the efforts of humanity to make sense again of the self, of the world, of God. But again, all of these attempts could not but be limited and filtered and blocked by the limited perspective of every individual, by their own filters, their own interpretations and beliefs. They say in science that if your intellect is like a ball, it has the size of a ball, then the world you see will be like a ball. You will see the world through this ball only. You can also say that it's like when someone has a microscope and he uses this microscope to discover the universe. How much can he see of the universe through this microscope? So, Baba, the unlimited one, comes in the physical, the very limited world, which is so limited, especially when you compare it to Baba's home, our home. So, Baba comes to take his children, who are now full of all of these limitations, full of small boxes in their head. So he comes to take them to the unlimited. But one of the main obstacles or limitations is perhaps that everything that Baba says is filtered through our filters that can be very narrow and very thick. So, an analogy could be, in order to understand what this means, so an analogy could be of someone who, let's say, has been playing all his life a role. So let us take the example of someone who acts out to be a beggar in a drama, to be an orphan. So imagine that he plays out this role not only for 1 hour or 2 hours or one day, or one month, or even one year, but all their life they play the same role, constantly, day in, day out. So, it is very possible that they will adopt the personality, the interests, the worries, in other words, the life of the beggar. And let us imagine that this person in his real life is a prince, and his father is the world emperor. This is in fact exactly what has happened to all of us. Each one of us has been playing his own role, day in, day out, for so many years and so many lives. And when Baba comes, we live the life of the role, not of the soul, of the self. So, if we want to experience Baba as he is, we have to come out of these filters. We have to come out from the life, the personality of the beggar, and see the self as Baba sees us, as we really are, as equals. So the starting point should not be that I am a beggar and Baba comes to make the beggar gradually by changing the personality of the beggar and working on the sanskaras of the beggar and improving them to make the beggar a prince. In other words, Baba does not come to make the role gradually a soul. No, we are already, always, eternally a soul. So, our journey is about making the high jump. This is what Baba often says, so often. He says, take the high jump. Liberation in life in a second. Which means waking up. And this would also mean letting go of the process which we are all trapped in when we try to change the role to a soul, to an angel. When we are already a soul, we are already an angel, but we have to let go of all these filters and see the angel behind the clouds. So, our journey is about remembering and coming out from this cloud in a second. Then, I can see the self exactly as I am, the way that Baba sees me, as equal. And then, I will be able to see Baba as he is. Because it is a very different relationship. The relationship that the beggar would have when he would meet the emperor. If the beggar thought he is a beggar and he was completely in oblivion of himself as the child of the emperor, then the relationship that he would develop with the emperor would be so different than if he remembered that he is the prince, the child, the very, very beloved child of the emperor. And although the emperor sees the prince as his child, he sees what's happening in his intellect. He sees his illusion. He sees his wrong beliefs. He has mercy for him, not as a beggar. He does not have mercy for his child as a beggar. He wouldn't try to change the life of the beggar and find a job for him and help him in his misery in that sense. But because Baba has perfect clarity and he sees the big picture, the beginning, middle and end of the journey of his child, and he understands very well what has happened to his intellect, the illusion that has crept in. So the way that Baba helps his child is to remind him that he has nothing to do with a beggar. If he tried to find a job for the beggar or to give him some more food or give him some roof to sleep, then this would be really harmful, because the beggar would then identify more of this false identity as a beggar. And Baba comes and says to his child, who is full of the personality of the beggar, he says, "You are not a beggar. You are my prince. You are my child." But here we have to check who is listening to Baba when Baba says this. It is still the beggar inside. And he may believe Baba for some reason. He may believe that he is a prince. But still, it's the beggar that believes it. So the question is how the beggar can come out from the personality, from the habits, from the sanskaras of the beggar, to be able to remember that he is a prince. When this very fortunate moment happens, then the prince can start experiencing Baba as he is the real God. Otherwise, it is the filters of that beggar and all the stories and needs which are all based on illusion. Then it's going to be all these thoughts that the beggar experiences about Baba. And all these thoughts and filters are not who Baba is. So the beggar may think, "Oh, he's my father." But these thoughts don't have truth, reality, because they come of the personality of the beggar and they are colored and they're filtered. But when the beggar wakes up, he will realize that he was never a beggar. He was a prince. And then this prince automatically feels Baba as he is. He does not need to meditate on Baba and think that I am a prince and the emperor is my father. Because in this case, although these thoughts may help and they are necessary for the prince to wake up and remember who he is, but We can also be trapped in these thoughts and experience just these thoughts. But these thoughts cannot be the replacement of the ultimate stage, which is waking up and being the real person and experiencing Baba without even needing to meditate, to think of Baba as such. It's like you enter a room and there is someone there that you know very well, and you live with this person all your life. Do you need to meditate on them? Do you need to think that they're like this, that they're like that, when they themselves are there? All that is required is for you to be fully present there, open to their presence, to feel them exactly as they are. If a person is in one room and he's told that there is another person in another room, he may think of them, or he may think of how to enter the room. He may need this process. But when the person is in the same space and he's very clear about himself and who the other person is, they don't need to do anything to experience themselves as they are, to experience their relationship. So, as Brahmins, we now have to check what's going on in our spiritual journey. Who are we? Which personality are we when we think of Baba, when we aim to connect with Baba? Is it the role that now has become a spiritual role, a Brahmin role, that is thinking of the soul? In other words, is it still the beggar thinking of the prince? Or we have come out from the role? We are a soul thinking of the supreme soul. In other words, the prince woke up and he can now observe the beggar, the role he was playing, rather than the role observing and thinking of the star, of the prince, of the soul. So, before experiencing any relationship with Baba, it is absolutely necessary to check who is connecting with Baba. Is it the beggar or is it the prince? And if it is the prince, the relationship with Baba is real and we experience Baba without filters. We experience Baba, not our thoughts about Baba. We just feel him. And this is where intoxication is natural. And this is where what Baba says in the Murli, that you should be constant yogis, is possible. It's happening when the prince is awake. Otherwise, the yoga constantly breaks. If we are the role, then as a role we cannot have yoga. It is not real yoga. It is the beggar thinking of the emperor, but even if he believes that he is, the emperor is his father, still the personality of the beggar will not allow him to experience the relationship of equals. So Baba says, you are Bab Saman. So before we experiment with any relationship with Baba, we have to come back to this original stage of being like Baba. And they say that it takes one to see one. You can't recognize Baba unless you are in this same level. let's say there is a very good doctor, that he comes with some new findings, with some refinement in being operating in a certain area of the body, and he finds a new technique, and very, very subtle and very specific. Only the doctors that are like him will understand the greatness of this new finding, this new subtle way of operating. So it takes one to know one. If we want to know the subtlety of Baba, it has to be the awake soul, the awake prince, the awake angel that sees the Father clearly. So let us now experiment and see, feel Baba as he is. And the first step is of letting go. Letting go in a very gentle way of all these thoughts, all these opinions, interpretations about the role, about the other roles connected with the role we play, about all the stories that continue again and again, on and on, because this is the nature of the drama, to have stories. So we now experiment with the three dots. We make the drama like a point. We apply the three points. The first point is the drama. So can we make this room that the body is in, and the city we are, and the country, smaller and smaller, the whole planet, the whole universe, so small, like a dot, point. And within this point, there are the three aspects of time, space, all the universe, the galaxies, everything is within this point. And what are we left with? We are left with the silent dimension of light. We are left with the sweet home. We are left with the self, a silent, eternal point, and Baba, the eternal source, the eternal point. Baba is always a point. He's never someone in the drama. He's always zero in terms of role and stories in his mind. He never has any story, any thought about anything in his mind. He just experiences himself as he is, without meditating on himself. But he also in his perfect, constant silence and clarity. He sees us as we are. He sees us as eternal points of light. He can see what has happened to our intellect and our mind, and how we, the ones who are like him, have been trapped in the thoughts we created about what we thought we are. But Papa is not deceived, is not interested in the character we created and we developed as real in our mind. This is just imagination based on the role that his child plays on the stage, just a role. But Papa always sees the one who is always an angel. His angel, his angelic child, his angelic prince. And when this prince is conscious to himself, he also experiences the same clarity and the same silence like Baba. He experiences perfection. And it is through this silent mind, silent heart, that he can feel Baba's heart. He does not feel his thoughts about Baba. He sees Baba right in front of him as he is. He feels the silence of Baba, the heart of Baba. We now see this sacred hearts, pure hearts, that do not know vices. When the angel is out of illusion, he is viceless. So his heart is not the heart of a beggar who all the time expects something, asks for something, out of selfishness, out of emptiness, out of need. No. This heart is the heart of a prince who is as wealthy as his father. But he has such extreme love for the king, for the father. The connection of the prince with his father is eternal. The relationship they have, the relationship of these two points of light, has the sweetness of all relationships, the natural way. The prince can feel the heart of God. Baba feels every beat of the heart of the angel. Their connection, their sharing is just perfect in eternity. And it is natural. No energy of effort. It is an eternal, natural, perfect relationship of these two eternal companions, eternal friends. So when this prince, when this point of light, being of light, comes on the stage to continue the role, the performance, he comes with total clarity and his connection with Baba remains natural, effortless, while he plays the role. Everything that the angel has on the stage, body, time, any physical resource, belongs to his beloved. Even the mind of the angel. Belongs to Baba. So the angel continues his visit, his journey on the stage. But he leaves. The same world where Baba lives, in the invisible, silent world. He has a natural magnetic pull towards Baba. He does not need to create thought, to try and understand and know Baba, that eternally, so close, together, they live together. Whether on the stage or beyond the stage, the angel lives the same life, invisible, silent life. He is silent, he is invisible. And he shares this silent, invisible life with Baba, who is eternally silent, eternally invisible. And yet, life itself, the seed of life, Om Shanti.
You washed you with love. Then I sent you out beyond the veil, so you might choose the love. Replications, you're the ones that I adore.